Economicsense.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com.
Calling 2020 exhausting would be me being polite. Lockdowns, staying away from family and friends, grim news pouring in from all quarters, and drastic shifts in our daily lifestyles have pushed most of us over the edge. Many have sought therapy, but COVID has impacted counseling sessions as well. Instead of relaxing on easy chairs and pouring out one's heart to the therapist, sessions are now held via a mobile screen. However, mental health and its upkeep have made thousands log in, and e-therapy is swiftly gaining acceptance and prominence in digital India. From The Economic Times, I'm Devina Sengupta, and you're listening to The Morning Brief. I've invited Ramakant Vempathy, co-founder of Vaisa, a digital self-help platform, counseling psychologist Ishita Pateria, and Shefali Bhatt from The Economic Times, who reports on mental health, to discuss digital therapy. Good morning, and thank you for being with us on this podcast. Ramakant, with many of us reaching out for counseling by dialing in numbers, what has been the growth of online counseling or e-therapy in India?
I think there's just one word to describe it, and that is stratospheric, in the sense that if we compare even the kind of usage we saw in 2019 between the period of January to November versus January to November or February to November 2020, when lockdowns happened and COVID kind of raged all around us, we've seen roughly a doubling of the number of people who have reached out for help. And this has not just been in India, but it has also been across the world. And there's been a lot of, I think, data flowing in from various studies and both academic as well as polling, which has happened, which has said that anxiety levels have peaked. So they have now gone up 200 to 300% in various countries across the world.
Right.
Sleeplessness, so issues around sleeping. And as you mentioned, all the troubles and stress around isolation as well as working from and living at home all the time. So it has really seen a significant increase.
Ishita, for example, I often feel a spike in anxiety, and sleeplessness is something which even I am struggling with. But tell me, Ishita, when you are taking online counseling or talking to patients online, is it the anonymity factor in a country which is yet to accept mental health and its diagnosis as a regular checkup? Is that what is leading to the growth and popularity of online e-therapy?
Anonymity is one factor, I would say, but I would also say the easy access. Earlier, you know, there were qualified counselors in certain towns, or you didn't know who was for the lower, for the smaller cities, for example, you didn't know where to go. But now with the help of e-therapy, it doesn't matter where you are. You can speak to anybody anywhere. And I think that helps a lot. And with that anonymity, I would say both of them together.
You mentioned a point on the barrier between the urban and the semi-urban area. Mental health has often been looked upon as an urban issue. But now with online and availability, do you see this barrier being broken?
I think we've started to break the barrier. I think there's a long way still to go. But for example, in my own practice, I often find now clients reaching out to me from smaller towns, which was not the case pre-COVID. Earlier, it was people who were Bombay-based who would kind of reach out to me. There were very few clients otherwise. But now I see clients reaching out from various towns, from various backgrounds, and they're a lot more open to the idea of it than earlier.
That's soothing for all of us to know that everybody is seeking help in any which form. Shefali, you have been writing extensively on therapy and importance of mental health for the Economic Times. One point which we discussed often is people, you know, drop out after a couple of sessions, 3-4 sessions. For many people, spending 3,000-4,000 rupees per session for therapy is expensive. Do you see online or e-therapy as the solution for it? Because it's far cheaper than actually going and meeting a counselor.
Absolutely, Devina.
there's one thing, which is that, you know, you don't have to travel, so you don't spend on traveling to get to your therapist. I think the other thing that online therapy allows for is that a lot of the therapists send you a Google Doc, where you mention a lot of these details about your prior history, if there is any. And I think there is room to add maybe one more tab in there, which asks you your geographical location. And we all know that, you know, a lot of therapists charge according to your geographical location. So say, for instance, people in Delhi would not pay for therapy mostly as much as, say, people in Bombay would or in Bangalore would. But online therapy completely erases that particular aspect. And therefore, I think there is, you know, there's definitely a case to be made for therapists to consider that. And therefore, maybe if, you know, there's somebody who's coming from a tier two, tier three city who's approaching them for therapy, they could charge them lesser than what they would charge somebody who's coming from urban quarters. I think that is something that e-therapy definitely makes room for. Another thing that e-therapy allows for is therapy vouchers. You can, you know, people gift Amazon vouchers to others. You know, this is a gifting season. I don't see any better gift than, you know, a therapy session to somebody. I'd done that a while ago with a friend without even realizing how much of a difference it could make to somebody until she posted about it on Twitter. And I started getting a lot of messages, which made me realize that, you know, this could actually be a thing and you could give therapy vouchers to people. And I think, you know, organizations could sort of come together and create some sort of a system whereby you can do that online. And, you know, I guess the scope is kind of limitless then.
This is beautiful. Christmas, New Year, birthday gifts. If you really don't want to give another dress or another voucher, just give an e-therapy or an online voucher for self-help. Ramakant, tell me, when you see thousands logging in self-help or go for online coaching, what is the future of digital therapy in India?
I think one of the things which we need to probably address, and both Ishita and Shefali mentioned it, is that a lot more people are now coming in and seeking help. And they're coming from non-traditional locations. So they're coming from smaller towns. And given that it's now remote and it's online, so it's more accessible. You don't have to figure out and drive and park and go in and do an appointment and see somebody face to face. So it comes with challenges, but I think the benefits outweigh the challenges. But I think we have a bigger challenge in front of us in terms of growth of online therapy, which is acceptance. And I think all of us know that there is stigma around reaching out for help on mental health, even admitting to yourself that I need help. Is sometimes a huge barrier which people have to cross. So a couple of examples here. So I was just thinking about, you know, the word depression. And I don't think I know the Hindi equivalent of depression. And I don't know if anybody on the panel does. I would love to know if there is a direct Hindi equivalent of depression. Which just goes to say that we don't even have the vocabulary to describe what is going on sometimes. In Japan, for instance, when I think they wanted to market an antidepressant drug, there was so much stigma around it that they actually had to say, they had to kind of dance around the topic and call depression a cold for the soul. And they said, this is like a medication. This is like Bisprin, only it is for cold for the soul. So that's the kind of, I think, gymnastics, mental and verbal gymnastics people go through in order to even address the topic or even broach the topic. So that is one of the first things we do need to solve. And there, I think one of the things we have found out of our work with WISA has been that talking about slightly non-threatening issues or embedding the conversation into daily life is something which really helps. So talking about school, talking about work, I may not be diagnosed or I don't think I need help for depression, but I might want to talk about a coworker who is being a pain, or I might want to talk about a fight I'm having with my girlfriend, or I might want to talk about sleep. So these are things which are relatively non-controversial. It is easy to strike a conversation there. And I think that's where it needs to start. You have to handhold the person, be there when they want to talk about something specific, and slowly and gently guide them towards more and more advanced forms of support, depending on what they're going through.
So Ramakant, right now, when you mentioned depression, I quickly Googled and one word given is khinnata. in Hindi, which is depression or fretfulness. And of course, I did not know. I Googled it. Shefali, when Ramakant is mentioning about the, you know, how one needs to handhold, do you see in future classrooms talking about online counseling, like how you have sports today as a class? Can we finally reach a stage where we can have, okay, you need help? We have counselors in school. You can talk to someone. Self-help lines. Do you see this happening in India in the future?
In private schools, definitely. But I think that's where the challenge kind of begins. And even there, I think counselors, you know, there is also conversation about having counselors from diverse backgrounds. Because even in private schools, you have a diverse mix of children that come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, and therefore they need to feel represented for, you know, for them to be able to open up to their counselor. But I guess that is one thing that, you know, a lot of people have now agreed that, you know, should be standard practice, that you need to have child psychologists in your staff. Just like you have, you know, a physical education teacher, or you have, you know, some sort of a medical practitioner, you know, for any kind of mishap that happens in the school. And ideally, it should. Some schools already have it. In the next 1 year, I'm sure more will have it, but it has to be across the country. Not sure if I can, you know, if anybody at this point can say when that would happen.
Right. Ishita, when we're talking about the future, one thing which is slightly of a hurdle in online counseling is trust, the security risks, the credentials of the counselor. As a counselor, do you find it taking more time to build the trust with a patient in today's India?
I would not say trust, but I would definitely say the rapport. It takes a lot longer to develop that over a screen than in person. I think for many clients, I can see that it takes a lot longer for them to open up as opposed to in person. I see some of my clients also now with things opening up in India, for example, already asking when I'm going to be starting my, you know, in-person practice, because some people have preferences over others.
Right.
So, yes, it does come with some disadvantages, but I think at the same time, people are getting the benefit of doing it from their own homes, own spaces. So there is a bit of both. I also think more than trust and rapport, a lot about the counselor is about how sensitive they are to the individual. I think what a lot of times happens is whether you're doing it in person or online, when a client comes in, you have to provide them that environment which they feel is secure, which they feel is safe, which they feel that your entire attention is on to them. And I think if you're able to do that for them, even online, it helps a lot.
Ramakant, I wanted to understand, for instance, do you see issues of credibility creeping in when someone logs into online platforms to seek help? Don't you think these are the times when they prefer having a face-to-face interaction and not opt for an online platform?
I don't think that it is. I think a little bit of accepted wisdom that face-to-face is always better than online. Mm-hmm. I think there are situations where online is better. And obviously for people who are living in rural areas, for instance, or people who can't get to a face-to-face counselor or psychologist in time, people who have, our therapists, for example, say that 80% of the work in the initial few sessions of therapy is make the patient get over their fear of being seen. That doesn't exist sometimes. For example, in WISA, we do text-based therapy. I'm not saying it's suitable for everybody, but in certain situations, being anonymous, being behind a text wall where you're not actually exposing your face or your vulnerability to another human being is beneficial and sometimes works better. The VA, the Veterans Affairs Department in the US, did this test and published research around people who had come back from Afghanistan and who were suffering from PTSD. And they made them talk to an AI avatar and talk about the stressors they were going through. And interestingly and counterintuitively, what they found was that people preferred talking to the AI avatar rather than talking to a human being because they did not feel touched. And it is counterintuitive because even when we started WISA 4 years ago, 3.5, 4 years ago, I was a skeptic. saying who would want to talk to a chatbot about their personal problems. But what we have found over 100 million conversations across 60 countries is that people say they don't feel judged. They feel that the experience is empathetic. I'm in no way suggesting that this is a replacement or should be a replacement. But I think there is a place for this, for modalities like this, or support like this, which expand the amount of support which can be provided in multiple contexts, in multiple modes, so that you are there when the person needs it rather than forcing the person to come to where you are.
Ishita, I wanted to understand, is it getting difficult for people to discuss very severe issues? Can one talk about depression over a video call, for instance? Do you see that happening? Or is it easier for people to, let's say, talk about certain illnesses and not talk about the rest?
From my experience, what I see is over a video chat, like over Zoom, for example, clients can discuss the whole spectrum of things. I don't think there's anything that they're uncomfortable sharing. I think over a chat box or over a dial-in, the issues that oftentimes they get help with are lesser, or I wouldn't say lesser, but in terms of, because, for example, in a dial-in, a lot of times for more severe problems, you need to continue therapy. So one dial-in is not enough, right? So it's a start. But in order for you to have, you know, more experience of what it is, you need to have consistency in your therapy. And that's helpful through a video call or a continuous, when you're in continuous touch with one particular person. So I think as long as that is being provided, it is very helpful.
True that. And my final question to Shefali, has India Inc. recognized the importance of mental health? Do we have enough insurance covers to take care of mental health? Do we see that change happening?
Devina, I wish on the insurance part. But what I can tell you is after we started doing mental health stories, I had people, CEOs and founders from the startup and tech community in India reaching out to me on Twitter DM saying, hey, can you recommend a therapist? And it was a big deal because they said that this is for me. These are also people that I haven't met, don't have a relationship with. These are people that I know off Twitter. And for them to actually, basically let somebody know that, you know, they need therapy is a huge deal. And that change has happened at least in the urban quarters, largely because of social media. So we really have social media to thank for that, because the normalization of talking about mental health in itself has helped these people a great deal to just come forward and say, you know what, we need therapy. And, a lot of corporates have sent mails to their employees saying that we're going to have mental health counseling and you should sort of take it up. How efficient that has been is something that, is there for all of us to find out. But yes, conversations have started and it is a great first step.
That's fantastic, because first step is the most crucial step. And thank you so much, all three of you all. Thank you so much. This has been really interesting. To sum it up, e-therapy will be the way ahead in digital India. It is a relief to know that online platforms dedicated to mental health are gaining traction amongst many from small towns. Just like telemedicine, people across age groups are finding it easier to log in and seek help. It doesn't matter whether it's a bot or a person on the other side. What matters is that one has taken the first step towards admitting that not all is well. I hope India Inc., including insurance companies, now try to include mental health and its costs as part of their inclusivity program. I'm Devina Sengupta, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Rachita Prasad and Nehal Chalyawala and coordinated by Nehal Chalyawala. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode, and do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And share the episode on your social media networks as well. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead.
Avaaz.com